Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai. The characteristics of Krishna are understood to be a storehouse of transcendental love. Although that storehouse of love certainly came with Krishna when he was present, it was sealed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates of the Panchatattva, they broke the seal and plundered the storehouse to taste transcendental love of Krishna. The more they tasted it, the more their thirst for it grew. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Maha Vedanyavatara because although he is Sri Krishna himself, he is even more favorably disposed to the poor fallen souls than Lord Sri Krishna. When Lord Sri Krishna himself was personally present, he demanded that everyone surrender unto him and promised that he would then give one all protection. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this earth with his associates, he simply distributed transcendental love of God without discrimination. Sri Rupa Goswami, therefore, could understand that Lord Chaitanya was none other than Sri Krishna himself, for no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can distribute confidential love of the Supreme Person. Se panchatatvamili prithiviyasya purva prema bhandarera mutra ukhadiya panchimili lutti prema koryasvadana jata jata pietrishna badhi anukshana. The characteristics of Krishna are understood to be a storehouse of transcendental love. Although that storehouse of love certainly came with Krishna when he was present, it was sealed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates of the Panchatattva, they broke the seal and plundered the storehouse to taste transcendental love of Krishna. The more they tasted it, the more their thirst for it grew. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaudadai Pushpavanto Chittasango Tamonito Vanchakalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Dityanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So with the permission of the Vaishnavas, I'll try and say something appropriate, especially with the permission of Malati Prabhu, gave a very nice class yesterday, Hare Krishna. So this, in the build-up to Gorpanim, we're moving around different sections of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So today we're on chapter 7, which is a chapter that we've been going through verse by verse quite recently. So today's verses are about the storehouse of love of God. So the term for storehouse is bandara. Here it's described purva prema bandara, meaning it's the storehouse of love of God, and it's purva prema, meaning it's not new. It was brought by Lord Sri Krishna. Actually, once in a day of Brahma, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, and he gives this prema. This is very elevated. It's the spontaneous love of Godhead, which is only available in one part of one Kali Yuga, in one day of Brahma. So there are 100 other Kali Yugas, but spontaneous love of Godhead is not available. So this is something very special. And as I mentioned, it's purva prema, meaning that Krishna brings this same spontaneous love. It said, Aishvarya Shatili Prema Nahi Mora Prita. Krishna says, I am not actually attracted ultimately by love which is imbued with awe and reverence. The love which is purely sweet, that is what's actually attracting me. Therefore, Krishna comes and he's giving something which will ultimately capture him. This is why he's doing it. I mean, there are various reasons for the descent of Krishna and for the descent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But very important is the giving of this spontaneous love of God. It's Raga Marg Bhakti Loki Koriti Prachar. Krishna's coming to give the Raga Marg, and also Prema Rasa Niryasa Kariti Asvadana, to taste the Prema Ras. So that's why Krishna has got two names, Rasika Shekara Krishna, Parama Karuna. The first one being Rasika Shekara, that's his own internal enjoyment of rasa, and Parama Karuna, he's very merciful in giving that raga marg, or this spontaneous love of God. So this is the very special qualities of Krishna, which is then also given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the difference is, he is given it freely. Patra patra vichara nahi nahi stana stana. No consideration of time, place, circumstance, or suitable person. So it's interesting that in the Nectar of Devotion, there's a description of how Krishna is magnanimous. Now, the last time I gave class, I asked what was the word in Sanskrit for magnanimous, so I'll ask again, see if you get it right. There's two words I was thinking of for magnanimous. One of them's in today's purport. Vidanyaya. Okay, Vidanyaya is the dative case for unto the magnanimous one, and Vidanya is the word for magnanimous. So, yes. And the other one? Audarya. So both these words, audarya means, it's also translated as magnanimous. So in Nectar of Devotion, both these terms are used to describe Krishna. And they have slightly different meanings. Audarya means he will give his very self to someone. Now that's generosity, right? To actually give yourself. I mean, who can do that? Bali Maharaj gave himself. He's glorified. Atmanivedana. It's a very rare thing. So Krishna, he will give himself. And the other meaning, Vidanya, that means he's very, very generous. Now, the examples, a couple of examples are given in Nectar of Devotion. One is that when Krishna was in Dwarka, he was so generous that the opulence of Dwarka exceeded even that of Goloka Vrindavan. And now the opulence of Goloka Vrindavan is characterized by three aspects: Chintamani, touchstone, Kalpa Druma, the desire trees, and Kalpa Denu, the wish-fulfilling cows. So these three aspects, they mean that Goloka Vrindavan is very opulent. But when Krishna was in Dwarka, he exceeded even that. So Dwarka was more opulent than Goloka Vrindavan. That's what is explained in the Nectar of Devotion. Another example of the magnanimous nature of Krishna is that when he was in Dwarka, from each and every palace, he would distribute 13,054 cows every day. So that's a lot of cows, a lot of palaces as well, right? So that's millions. So this is the great magnanimity of Lord Krishna. Now, as I mentioned the last time I gave class, when Srila Prabhupada translated the Nectar of Devotion, he added little Gaura Lila aspects to it, which aren't in the original Sanskrit. So when he's discussing the magnanimous nature of Krishna, he adds a little sentence, he says, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even more magnanimous. So what's the reason? What is more magnanimous about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yes, he opened it, exactly. So today's verses, it was sealed. Krishna had the storehouse, but it was sealed. You had to surrender first. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just opened it and said, you know, let's distribute. Now this is an amazing storehouse, because the more they distributed, the more the storehouse increased. So in the invocation to Ishupanasad, it said, Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishati. When the complete is taken away from the complete remains. It's like one minus one is one. This is spiritual arithmetic. But actually, this storehouse of knowledge, when you think about it, it's even more amazing, because one minus one makes several hundred. Because every time they emptied the storehouse, it increased several hundredfold. And then they would, several hundred minus several hundred makes several tens of thousands and so forth. So you see the storehouse of knowledge, it's increasing more and more. So this is the magnanimous nature of Mahaprabhu. So I was considering this magnanimous nature, referred to as Vidanya. Actually, in the purport, Prabhupada refers to Rupa Goswami. So he's clearly referring to this verse that Rupa Goswami spoke when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Prayag. Namo Maha Vidanyaya Krishna Prama Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvase Namaha. How he is very magnanimous because he's giving Krishna Prema And he is none other than Krishna himself. Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya, means that Krishna Chaitanya is Krishna. So I was reflecting on this Vedanya. Now, we mentioned how it's free. That's one reason why it's Mahaprabhu is very magnanimous. He's given it freely. Also, if you consider who he's given it to, he's given it to anyone and everyone. Now, Krishna, there was a condition. You had to, first of all, surrender. Mahaprabhu, anyone and everyone. It said, Se Dvari Achandali, Kirtana Sanchari, Nama Prema Malaganti, Paraila Sangsari. That Lord Chaitanya, he wove a garland of Nam and Prem, and he distributed it to everyone, including the untouchables. So we see the difference is that Mahaprabhu, he will even give Prema to the untouchables. So he's giving something that's actually very rare as well. We have this statement that the human form of life is very rare. We say, Nrideham Ajam Sulabam Sudurlabam. The human form is very rare, but it's also easily attained because it's attained through the laws of nature. So human life is rare, but then we have this statement in the Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam Sahasrishu Kaschid Yatari Siddhaya. Out of many rare human beings, a rare one will endeavor for perfection. And then Yatatama Pisidanam Kaschid Mam Veti Tatvataha. And of those rare ones who are endeavoring for perfection, perhaps one knows me in truth. So to actually know Krishna is rare several times over. And actually, when we consider what Mahaprabhu is giving, that's also very rare. There's a statement, Vidi Bhakti Braj Bhav Paiti Nahi Shakti. Through regulated devotional service, we cannot obtain the mellows of Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is only for those who practice spontaneous love. So Vidi Bhakti Braj Bhav Paiti Nahi Shakti means that even though you may perform devotional service for lifetimes, does not mean that you will get spontaneous devotional service. There's a statement, Tatra Lalyam Apimulyam Ekalam Janma Koti Sukritayar Nalabhyate. The qualification, the adhikar for spontaneous devotional service is greed, and you will not obtain it through Janma Koti Sukrita, means performing pious activities for crores of births. Now, for a while, I used to think this meant material Sukriti, but actually it can also mean spiritual Sukriti, because regulated devotional service also does not have the power to give you this spontaneous love of God. So we can see how rare what Mahaprabhu is offering. And actually, there's another sense it's very rare. If you look at the characteristics of devotional service, Kleshagni Shubhada Moksha Laguta Krit Sudurlaba Sandra Nanda Visheshatma Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa. There are six characteristics of devotional service. Now, the first two, they apply to sadhana bhakti. That is, they destroy all miseries and they give all auspiciousness. But the next two, they apply not to sadhana bhakti, but they apply to bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. So these two are moksha laguta krit and sudurlaba. So that means that when you have this bhava bhakti, then liberation becomes very insignificant in comparison. Kaivalyam narakayate, that Prabodhananda Saraswati says that for one who has, one who has received the merciful glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and for such a person, liberation is like hell. And the other quality is sudurlaba. As we mentioned, sudurlaba means it's very rare. So then we're having bhava bhakti and prema bhakti is very rare. The final two are Sri Krishna Karshini, that prema bhakti attracts Krishna. That's not on the platform of bhava bhakti. And the other one is Sandrananda Visheshatma, extreme bliss. So we see that what Mahaprabhu is offering, now the term used is prema. Actually, prema means love. All religions of the world, maybe not Buddhism, they talk about love of God. So love is a very kind of general term. But we can ask, what specifically does it mean? Now, the word prema has different meanings. One meaning of prema is Krishnendriya Pratichi Icha Dhori Premanam, means just to act for the pleasure of Krishna. But there are different degrees of prema. So it's an interesting question. What exactly is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offering? You see, this it relates to the fourth, I think it's the fourth or fifth verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it said, Anarpitam charin chirat karunayavatirna kalau sarmar payatumo natochvala rasam svabhakti shriyam. How Mahaprabhu is giving something that has not been given for a long time. And what is he giving? The term used is unata uchvala rasam svabhakti shriyam. Now the term svabhakti shriyam means it's the treasure of devotion to himself. And what does unata uchvala mean? Any offers? Let's break the word down into two pieces. Unata means what? Means very elevated. And uchvala? Brilliant, yeah. It's a term that's used to describe the conjugal rasa, also a nectar of devotion. Sometimes the conjugal rasa is referred to as uchvala. Often it's referred to as madhurya. Shringara is also referred to as shringara. It said, sabha rasa hoiti shringari adhika madhuri, that this shringara rasa is very sweet. That's why it's called the madhurya rasa. So it's described that Mahaprabhu is giving the unnatochvala rasa. It's a very elevated conjugal rasa. So we've moved, we've gone from prema to the conjugal rasa. So we're specifically saying which type of prema, because there's different aspects of prema. You can have sakya, dasya, vatsalya prema. Here it's referring to uchvala prema or conjugal rasa. Now we can take it further. We can say, well, there are different degrees of prema. Like in the fourth chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a statement, Kladinira Sara Prema, Prema Sara Bhav, Bhavara Paramakashta Hoi Mahabhav. The essence of the Kladini Shakti is prema. The essence of prema is bhav, which is ecstatic love. And the highest limit of bhav is Mahabhav. So when we are discussing Shruti Radharani, and she's known as Mahabhav Sarupini, that she is embodies this Mahabhav. So that there's a boiling down of this prema, condensation. They said that the difference between preliminary love of God and prema is prema's more condensed, but we can actually condense prema in different gradations. Now, the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Madhya Lila, there's a discussion of the different types of prema. And it's said that, for example, those in Shantaras, they can obtain prema, but they cannot obtain higher levels of prema like raga, anurag, and so forth. And the cowherd boys, they can attain raga. I think it's anuraga they contain. Although sometimes it's said that Subal, he can reach the platform of bhav, which is just before Mahabhav. And there are so many considerations. But it's described how only within the conjugal rasa is this Mahabhav available. And in Mahabhavas, there's different levels as well. There's Ruda Mahabhav, Adi Rudha, Modana Mahana, Mohana, and then Madana. So Madana is the soul, that special love that only Srimati Radharani has. So then, it's actually interesting, we have this statement, Naparaiham. Krishna tells the gopis, I cannot repay you. So I was listening to one lecture by Gaur Govinda Maharaj, and he was saying, actually, Krishna can repay the gopis, but it's Srimati Radharani's love that he cannot repay. So the idea is here that this Madanakya Mahabhav, this is so special that only Srimati Radharani has it. Now, I'm leading somewhere here. And if we go to the embankment of separation, I was discussing what is Mahaprabhu giving. Now we've said it's the unnatochvala rasa, the elevated conjugal rasa. So can we say anything more than that? So as I was reading The Embankment of Separation by Gaur Govinda Maharaj, and he seems to be pointing towards, well, actually he did say it in the end, saying that actually this love that Srimati Radharani has, that in Krishna Lila no one else has, this love, as well as tasting it, Mahaprabhu is distributing that love. Now this is, wait a minute here, how is this possible? To the Jivas even? Well, here's a statement, here's a conversation that appeared after one class that Govinda Maharaj gave. So the questioner, I heard it online, so I just thought I'd keep it. I thought it was a very special conversation, so I typed it out. So the questioner asked the following: those devotees appearing in Gaura Leela, their bhavs are higher than in Krishna Leela? And Govinda Maharaj replies, yes, definitely. So which bhav are they in? You describe that they have jealousy. He's referring to that there's a certain element of jealousy in Krishna Leela. We heard that, but in Gaura Leela, they have no jealousy. So they are coming up to Madanakya, Mahabhav? Yes, is the reply. In Gaura Leela? Yes. But in Krishna Leela, they don't. This is the questioner again. So Krishna Leela is incomplete, Gaura Leela is complete. Now the conversation goes on. Govinda Maharaj describes Krishna is like the ripe mango, and Krishna is like the unripe mango, and Gaura is like the ripe mango. So the rasa is not ripe for Krishna. Why? Because he's missing. He hasn't tasted Srimati Radharani's love. In his Krishna Leela, there's something missing. What is the nature of that love? So in order to fulfill that desire, he comes as Mahaprabhu. Therefore, the mango, so to speak, is ripe. So then the question goes on. Many devotees say that Mahabhav for a jiva is impossible. But in Gaura Leela, it is possible? Yes. Most definitely? Yes. So there you have it. I mean, we have the statement. We say Mahabhav is only for Srimati Radharani. But it appears that actually, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even that bhav is then distributed. So this is it's very wonderful and very amazing. Because this is something that the associates of Krishna even do not taste. But then when they come again as whatever their form is in Gaura Leela, they can also taste it. So this is kind of an increase of rasa. Now there are other considerations here. Recently I heard another lecture. Now at the end of the lecture, someone asked Govinda Maharaj, he said, so Krishna tells Uddhava, Natatame Priyatama, Atma Yoni Arna Shankaraha, Na Cha Sankarshano Na Sriya, Naivatma Cha Yata Bhavan. He says, well, Uddhava, no one is as dear to me as you. Not Lord Brahma, not Lord Shiva, not Lord Shankarshan, not the Goddess of Fortune, not even my own self. So then someone asks Govinda Maharaj, but we say Lord Shiva, he's the greatest Vaishnav. Vaishnavaryam Yata Shambhu. So how then can we say that Uddhava is more dear? So Govinda Maharaj replied, he said, because his love is not pure. Actually, I just happened to read this. It's in Hari Nam Chintamani. It said that the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they have Mishra Sattva. Their goodness is not pure. So then he goes on to say, but he then comes as a Dvaitacharya. Dvaitacharya is Sadashiva. So by coming as a Dvaitacharya, then he can experience that pure love. So by coming to the Gaura Leela, his rasa is increased. We can give another example. This is a chapter in Embankment of Separation called The Fainting of Ramananda Roy. So the question is then, why did Ramananda Roy faint when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed him his form as Radha Krishna? Because one can argue, well, Ramananda Roy, who is he in Krishna Leela? Who is he? That's Swarup Damodar. That's another answer. But Vishakha, yes, that's another answer. I think he's Arjuna Gopi as well. Actually, he's got many answers. See, Bhavananda Roy's father was Pandu, right? And then he had five sons who were the five Pandavas. So Ramananda Roy was one of them. But he's also Vishakha. So then Vishakha has seen Radha Krishna. So why then would Ramananda Roy, Vishakha has already seen Radha Krishna, why would he faint? So then there's a very wonderful explanation. And it goes as follows. There are different types of union. There is Radha Krishna, there is before they meet. That's called Bhuta Milana. Vishakha has seen this. There is after they meet. That's Bhavi Milana. She's also seen this. But at the actual point where they meet, Vishakha has not seen this. And this is the most special point of the union of Radha Krishna. That is the point when Mahaprabhu enters, or sorry, Krishna enters Titania Mahaprabhu. Krishna enters Radharani's heart and then steals Radharani's love. He has to actually soften her heart to enter the heart. Therefore, she has to experience separation. And through that separation, her heart becomes soft and Krishna enters. So this is considered to be the very highest point. And Vishakha hasn't seen this. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. But as Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveals this. So it's something that's like an upgrade, so to speak. This is how they... So seen from this angle of vision, we see how the Gaura Leela, although in one sense it's the same as Krishna Leela, in another sense there is something extra there. There's something extra there in terms of what has been tasted. So as I mentioned, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's tasting it and he's also distributing it. The tasting it is the internal reason and the distributing is the external. Now if we look at his life, actually in some ways the two are, they're kind of interwoven. I said Nama Prema Mala Ganti Paraila Sangsari. He wove a garland of Nama and Prem. What that means is the chanting of Hare Krishna is the same as the tasting of Hare Krishna, or the tasting of Rasa. So in the Harinam Chintamani it said, it is Nama Parad to consider chanting Hare Krishna to be sadhana and not to be the goal. It is sadhana and it's sadhya. So when Mahaprabhu, when he's performing the Yuga Dharma, the activities of the Yuga Dharma to distribute love of God, when he's giving this spontaneous love, that's only what he's doing. He's also, the internal reason is also present simultaneously because through the chanting he's also relishing. For example, at the Ratha Yatra, he's before Lord Jagannath, and he's saying, Gopi Bartuf Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Nodas. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the of the master of the gopis. So he's although he's a sannyasi, he's saying, Naham Vipro Nacha Narapati Napi Vaishona Sudro. He says he doesn't belong to any caste, any varna, any ashram. So although he's a sannyasi, his internal mood is servant of the gopis. So this is him, he's experiencing, he's relishing this mood of Radharani. And as we know in the Ratha Yatra pastime, when Mahaprabhu stopped, the cart carried on, and then there was a competition. I mean, would Jagannath have to stop because Jagannath can't be without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or would Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have to stop, have to move forward? So who won the competition? The answer was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that demonstrated how Krishna needs Radharani even more than Radharani needs Krishna, in effect. Jagannath had to stop because he couldn't bear to be without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. So we see how when the distribution of the holy name is going on, then the internal aspects are also present. So we can't sort of divide the two. And also the other way around, later on in the pastimes in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu, he was living in the Gambira. So it appears that that's the preaching has stopped, so to speak. He's no longer, for the first 6 years after taking sannyas, he was traveling around. And then for, I think, another 6 years in Jagannath Puri, he was cultivating the Nam Sankirtan. But as his life progressed more and more, he was in the Gambira, just experiencing love of God. But actually, that is also preaching, because it's all recorded, and therefore we get to read about it. So this is part of the spreading of love on God. So it's said, Apani Karimu Bhaktabhava Angkari, Apani Achari Bhakti Shikaimu Sabari. Mahaprabhu's coming, and he's taking the mood of a devotee, and he's teaching by example. So the internal and the external reasons for the descent of Mahaprabhu, they're actually simultaneously served in his pastimes. I was thinking this way, and it's kind of artificial to somehow draw a division and say, well, that was external and that was internal, because the internal was also external because he's a teacher, and the internal is going on within the external because the holy name is full of rasa itself. So in this way, there's no like, there's no dichotomy here. Like sometimes we think, I want to cultivate my own Krishna consciousness, but also I want to spread Krishna consciousness. And we see a difference, right? Shall I preach or shall I cultivate my own? But in a sense, to be on that platform means we're not on the platform, the high platform. Because those who are distributing, they're tasting at the same time, right? And those who are tasting it, they're tasting it in order to have something to give to others. So it's kind of, we want to try and not have this kind of, actually as Vishakha Mataji said when she was here, she said, we shouldn't think of this kind of external and internal. We shouldn't think, well, I have to balance my material life and my spiritual life. She makes the point is, no, you should just spiritualize your entire life. The point is this, if you are properly situated, properly following the order of the spiritual master, then whatever aspects of your life look like they are external, they're actually internal. And there's no point, you're 24 hours a day, you can be absorbed in the service of Krishna. You can have a career or whatever it may be, bringing up family. It's not, you don't need to see that as external. It's only, you only look at it as external because you've not made the grade, so to speak. But once you actually become advanced, then 24 hours a day, you're always thinking of Krishna. So therefore, the two aspects, they go together. You give the example of Tamil Krishna Maharaj. So he complained to Prabhupada. He said, I can't think of Krishna. I'm just thinking of bricks and sand and so forth, because he's trying to build temples. Srila Prabhupada said, no, this is your Krishna consciousness. You have to see it differently. See, we get this. I mean, in a way, it's nice to have this anxiety. I want to sit down and read. It's a desire to read. So it's very nice. But in another sense, if you think, I'm going to stop this because it's not Krishna conscious, then that's a mistake, you see. So therefore, we should have faith that if we simply follow the order of the spiritual master, then love of Godhead will awaken. And Srila Prabhupada was very down to earth, wasn't he? I've kind of given a very... My class today was a little bit... I was talking about Mahabhav and stuff. Prabhupada was very down to earth. But his beauty was, he was down to earth and very elevated at the same time. Because you can't... If you give up one, it's artificial, it's sahaja. So it's like, there's been so many great Vaishnavas since Srila Prabhupada came. But one thing was very, for me, is very significant about Srila Prabhupada was the degree he inspired ecstasy to distribute his books and to chant Hare Krishna on the street. The Hare Krishna movement was very, very prominent, very much in the public eye in the 70s and also in the early 80s. But gradually, the Hare Krishna movement has become more internal, as in behind closed doors. Kirtans are more going on inside the temple rather than outside the temple. Now, I was actually thinking, we have this saying that Kamsa was Krishna conscious. Now, he was a demon. He didn't have bhakti, but he was conscious of Krishna. So there's a difference between Krishna consciousness and devotion. Now, we can't make someone devotional. It's purely whether Krishna wants. Krishna's the giver. It says, Krishna eka prema datta shastra praman. Only Krishna can decide who gets prema. But we can make people Krishna conscious in the sense as we can make them aware of the Hare Krishna movement. So it's kind of, it's sad in effect, because we have a very, in many ways, the Hare Krishna movement is a lot stronger now than it used to be. It's on a strong financial footing. And there are so many devotees who have many decades of experience. But in another sense, in spite of that, we still have become invisible as a movement. And you ask the book distributors, and they'll say, you ask Pramarnava, how many times do you meet people who say, oh, I remember you from the 70s or the 80s? So many times, right? So there's a generation that knows the Hare Krishnas. There's another generation that doesn't even know they exist, which is amazing, because we think we're quite a big movement, especially around here. This is a big temple. So we have to consider what it's like to not be a Hare Krishna and just remember how invisible we are. So I wasn't going to talk about this, but may as well now. My feeling is we should be honest and say we've actually underperformed, because we have so many advantages. But we have, in spite of those advantages, we've actually become, to a large extent, invisible as a movement. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here and any comments or questions.